Om Shanti. Today we have the honor that Dr. Sachin is again with us after 6 days. So I don't have to introduce him, but I like to tell you, Dr. Sachin, that you really inspired us the way you churn the Muli in nature and you read it sentence by sentence and talking with Baba, what does it mean? So we had a topic on it, Muli fragrance with nature. So it was a good inspiration. So today we have Muli revision and yes, it's a nice class.
Om Shanti. A little boy was walking with his father and suddenly he asked a question, how big is God? How big is God? At the same time there was aeroplane flying above in the sky and the father said, how big is the aeroplane? And the boy said, it is so small I can hardly even see it. And then the father took that boy to the aeroplane hangar. Aeroplane hangar is a place where usually aeroplanes are kept. And standing in front of a aeroplane, the father again asked, how big is this aeroplane? And the boy said, it is enormous. It's so big. And father said, it is the same with God. It depends upon your distance. If you are far away from him, he is very small. And if you are very much near to him, he is very, very big. Where are we standing? How much is the distance? Is he near or is he far away? Is he someone with whom we are very much intimate? And we feel he is around me and I feel his presence and his vision, the canopy of his vision enveloping me, encompassing my being. So it's all about divine love. In today's Sakar Murli, in blessing, Baba said, this divine sweetness, this is the highest. This sweetness is the topmost. And before this godly sweetness, all other sweetness of this world, they are nothing, tasteless. The soul who has tasted the sweetness of this divine nectar doesn't relish the sweetness of this world. Everything is insipid. And we are those selected few souls who have tasted the nectar of divine love. The other day we were talking about divine lover. I hope that divine lover is awakened. Just now you were hearing one song and the song was in Hindi and it was saying, the divine lover was saying to Baba, though you are very near to me and though I see you, yet I feel like to cry out to you. Though you are just in front of me, but out of love, out of this divine madness, out of this divine insanity, out of this divine intoxication, out of this divine inebriation, I feel like to talk. I feel like to call out because there is so much joy in uttering thy name. So it's all about divine love. Yesterday we heard Baba's Murli and Baba came as ocean of love. Have you ever thought why God when he entered this world, he compared himself with ocean. There were mountains, there was air, sky, fire, lamps, and so many other things in the world. But he compared himself with an ocean in the first place. Later on he said, I am son of knowledge and this and that. But if you see, he has compared himself first with an ocean. This is a topic for churning. Why God is an ocean? And what are the qualifications of oceans? You can take this as a churning point. And the best way to talk or to try to understand is actually to go in front of a nature, in front of an ocean, stand in front of the ocean, see the waves which are coming and going, the ebb, the tide, the crescendo and decrescendo of the waves, and think that God is like this ocean, endless, infinite. So Baba came as ocean of love. And who are we then? Ocean of love is seeing whom? His lovely children. His loving children. So we are those who love God. We are those who have fallen in love with God. In Christianity, they describe Saint Bernard as a man who has fallen in love with God, as a saint who has fallen in love with God, and we are those saints who have fallen in love with God. This is a point of intoxication, that this divine love is the highest, this divine love is the supreme. And when Baba comes as ocean of love, he says, you are those who are loving children. Yesterday's Avyakta Murli was filled with so many points. And in today's Sakar Murli, there is a very powerful statement about Murli. Baba said, Murli is not Yad, Murli is not remembrance. And when you are in the remembrance, all your listening, all your hearing stops. Remembrance is that stage where you are lost, where you are in so much in oneness with your beloved that you lose the consciousness of everything which is around you. For example, if A loves B, and when A is remembering B and lost in remembrance, and a great procession passes by, he hardly even notices, he hardly even listens, hears, because it is the soul that listens or hears. So when we are lost in Baba, automatically all the noises around cease. That is the stage of remembrance, that is the stage of real remembrance, where we are unruffled by anything which is around us. No matter what noises, what sounds are going on. In the din and clamor of this world, to experience that stillness within, that silence within, that tranquility within, it's what is known as remembrance. So, that's how Baba described remembrance today morning. So yesterday, just imagine that we are standing on the shore and there is a huge ocean in front of me, and that ocean has come to meet me. You know, there was a very beautiful statement Baba had made long back. I think that was 18th January 1980. One of Avyakta Murli Baba said, today, ocean of love has come to bathe in the Ganges of Gyan. Ocean of love has come to take a bath, to take a dip in you. You are the those Ganges, those rivers of Gyan. So the very first thing when you listen to any Murli is the newness, is his way of expressing things, the way he talks, the way he describes his love, and most importantly, it is not in the words that the meaning is there. This is a very, very important point to ponder upon. It's not Baba is saying something when he's saying, but there is a stillness in between. There is a pause between his two statements. He speaks and he stops. So there are two statements and there is a pause. In that pause, he says many things. In that pause, there is some hidden secret. In that pause, you find the real meaning of what he said. You all must have experienced that. When Baba speaks, he is not at all in hurry. Have you seen that? He is not at all in hurry. It is the same constant acres, what we call. The same thing he speaks. The difference between when he speaks and when we speak is that sometimes we become very loud and sometimes very slow. But when he speaks, have you seen those ups and downs in his voice? Never. That's the difference. And as I was saying, always make it a point, whenever you hear Avyakta Bhav Dada, try to listen to that pause. When he is not speaking. Actually, the real Murli is when he is not speaking. Actually, the real Murli is when he stops, when there is a big pause and he is just seeing. This is also a point to ponder upon, what he must be thinking when he is just looking at us. Without speaking anything, he speaks and then he stops and he then moves his vision everywhere. What he must be thinking? He must be thinking, are they understanding what I am saying? He must be thinking, what I am seeing is anything? They are really, is it something that mean to them? So, the very first statement in the Murli is, ocean of love has come to meet the loving children. But there are two types of loving children. Who are they? One is lovely and another is lovelin. This is a new word coined by Baba. He has his own dictionary. He doesn't believe in the worldly dictionary. He creates his own words. In English it is known as neologism. New words. He has taken one word love from English and he has taken one word lean from Hindi. And he has tried to combine two languages and created a new word that is lost in love. So much engrossed in love. So there are two types of children. And who are we? Are we just loving or we are those who have lost ourselves in him? In his remembrance, in his love, thinking of him all the time. As if a lover, as if somebody drunk with divine wine. So what is our stage? So there are two types of children Baba saw. And then there were two types of songs that were played out. One song was coming from our heart and one song was coming from his heart. What is his song? What is his song? He never changes his song. It is the same song which he is singing from such a long time and we have so many songs after songs. And if we sing one song, we get bored and we want new songs. But he has never got bored. He has the one song which he has been playing from such a long time. My children, my sweet children, my beloved children, you are the crown of my forehead. So there were two songs played out and making rounds. And then there were two garlands. One he was putting and one we were putting. What were those garlands? What were those garlands? See, one more thing. A subtle thing to ponder. Baba talks in terms of similes and metaphors. What garland? What song? What plane? He's comparing everything with the things of this world. He's using the language of parables. And a very powerful thing is described in Christianity in Bible. The last 12 hours of Jesus Christ. Often Jesus is shown to talk in terms of stories and parables to explain his points. But the sermon which he gives, just before 12 hours, before his crucifixion, he says, a time will come when I will speak with you directly and I will not use parables. A time will come that I will stop using stories, and that time know that my time has come to go away from this world. And one of those disciples, Peter, says, now he is talking without parables. Probably now the time has come that he is going to depart. The same is the case with Bab Dada. He has always spoken in terms of parables, similes, metaphors, examples of this world. And gradually he has stopped using all of them. Probably the time has come that he has gone. Or he is about to go. If you see all the Murlis of 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, there are a lot of stories and a lot of examples. But the last few Murlis of 2015, 16, 70s, there are hardly any examples. So when we were listening to Murlis in 2015, 16, I used to remember this statement. It is given there and the same is happening here. That he will stop using all the parables, stories, all those sayings. And he will talk directly. He will talk plainly. And probably that is the time that he is about to depart from this world. So, what were the two types of garlands? One we were putting across around his neck. And one he was putting around our neck. Pearls. The garland of pearls of love we were putting across his neck, and he was garlanding us with his arms. And Baba says these are the unlimited arms. His arms are unlimited. This you can consider as a vision. The moment you get up in the morning, see that Baba is garlanding me. Baba is hugging me. This is such a beautiful picture. Imagine the souls, they get up in the morning. Baba said, even before Amrit Vela, those children who have got up. You children have got up, even before Amrit Vela, you are remembering me. So just imagine, what sort of morning is this? That I get up, and who is waking me up? God himself. And the moment I get up, I see God standing in front of me. And the moment I get up, he is garlanding me with his arms. And how? And what way, what manner, how elevated my day should be when the day starts with bang, divine bang. So this is a vision you can create every morning, that I wake up, the moment I close my eyes, open my eyes, he is in front of me. You know, there were some center sisters who told me their experience, that what they do in Amrit Vela. They said that the moment we get up in Amrit Vela, we don't open the eyes. We get up with the closed eye, we go in front of the translite, and then we open the eyes in front of Baba. That's how they practice. But be careful, otherwise you may fall down. They say that we don't want to see any other person except Baba. The moment we close the eyes, we have to see him. So that's how they do. So the morning should start like this, that he has come and he is hugging me. The divine hug. The hug of divinity. The hug of divine providence. And then there were two types of vehicles. Which were they? planes, two aeroplanes, aeroplane of love and aeroplane of mind. What is aeroplane of mind? It's a visualization. With this aeroplane you can go across any corner of the world and make it a point that when you go back to your countries every day, at least once or twice, make a trip to Madhuban. That will be the mental trip to Madhuban. A mental journey to Madhuban. Imagine that you are standing in front of Shantistam, then going to History Hall, then going to Baba's room, and then going to Baba's hut. In 24 hours, at least once, you have to make this trip. Every day. Make it a point. So that you come back to Madhuban with that plane of mind, with that plane of love, and you take away again the vibrations which are here. Because as Baba said yesterday, the world is filled with corruption, sins, though the science is increasing, but these two things are also increasing. Everywhere the absolute atmosphere, the milieu is vicious. You cannot get such divine atmosphere everywhere in the world. Here you don't have to really do anything. You are already in yoga all the time as if you are bodiless, moving as angels everywhere. But the moment you go back, they say that, jokingly they say, this Pandav Bhavan is Satyug, Golden Age, Gansaror is Silver Age, and Shantivan is Copper Age, and after that Iron Age starts. So that's how, the moment you sit in train or flight after that, your Iron Age starts and the vibrations of the Iron Age start. Now, right now you are in Silver Age. So morning you can, or evening you can, or in throughout the, in between the day you can enter Golden Age also. But after that Shantivan, Iron Age starts, the world which is filled with corruption, the world which is filled with sins. You can hardly see any soul who is virtuous. What are their mind filled with? Just pick up any human being, if you dissect the mind, you will see only violence, lust, sensual pleasures, and nothing else, and negativity. This is what the worldly people are. In such atmosphere, to have divine vibrations, to have divine thoughts, to have elevated spiritual stage is really a blessing. That's why I make it a point that once you go out of this place, once in 24 hours, what you have to do? Make a mental trip to Madhuban as a detached observer and seeing how souls are coming and souls are going. The divine atmosphere which is there. It's as if I am imbibing it, drinking within me and filling my soul with that divine power. In the path of bhakti, devotion, they say, if you cry just for 5 minutes for God, the result, the effect would last for a few months. But that should be real tears. A lovelorn lover experiencing pangs of separation. So, this is an exercise. So, first exercise, get up and see, and he is hugging. The second exercise, every day, at least once, and if you can come twice, you can come even twice. Proper, with proper visualization. Yes, I have entered the courtyard, and now I am making the trip. Spend 1 or 2 minutes at all the 4 pilgrimage sites, and that will fill you with unprecedented powers. So there were 2 types of planes, and then there were the 2 forms with which you came here. What were those 2 forms? One was angelic form, another was avyakta form. How do you define avyakta? Anybody? That's a very, very difficult word to define. Even those who are Hindi speakers, they find it difficult to understand what is this avyakt. What is the English translation of avyakt? What is the English translation of avyakt? Subtle. Subtle is sukshma. What is avyakt? Yeah? Non-existing. Okay. Non-existing. Then? Which is no avyakt. It is like, it's a half definition. What is this? That is not like it. So, it's difficult to define. You know, there are certain Hindi words which cannot be translated into English. Just as there are certain English words which can never be translated into English. Hindi. When you try to translate language, now one more thing which is very important for all of you. When you translate any language, if suppose this is a bottle of saint, okay, now you want to put this saint into another bottle. So this is one bottle, you are trying to put in another bottle, half is gone. So this is Hindi Murli, and when you are trying to translate into English, half is gone. That sweetness which is there in Baba's words, his language, the beauty, the dictionary, his lexicon, the choice of word, his diction, his rhyming. He doesn't speak ordinary Hindi. His Hindi is entirely different. Don't think that the Hindi which we speak here is the Hindi which he speaks. His Hindi is extraordinary. Extremely high level. Shakespearean Hindi. So, he talks in terms of metaphor. He talks in terms of similes. He compares everything. Every word he speaks has got 2-3 meanings. So, avyakt is something which is unmanifest. Vyakt is manifest, which is living, which you can see, which is visible, which is tangible, which is palpable. Avyakt is something which is intangible, which is unfelt, which is invisible, which cannot be experienced. And yet, it is there. So Baba said, you have come here in your avyakta form as well as in your angelic form. So try to practice these forms. And vyakt is directly related to speaking. Vyakt means voice, noise, speech. Avyakta means speechless. Avyakta means away. Avyakta means beyond. Avyakta means silence. Avyakta means stillness. Avyakta means tranquility. So at least few hours throughout the day, maintain that avyakta stage, where we do not speak anything. We remain in that absolute silence stage. I often love to quote, and I think I have quoted before also, Mahatma Gandhi has described his experience, that when he was in South Africa, he went to one monastery, that was Trappist monastery. And he found all the people who are in this monastery are in silence. And they have taken vow of silence. And he was amazed to see, what is this? Here nobody speaks anything. There were 1,000 people, 1,000 monks there, and nobody is speaking. So he goes to the head of the monastery and he asks, what is the reason that everybody who enters this monastery takes upon himself lifelong vow of silence? The head of the monastery says, we are frail human. We hardly know what to speak and what not to speak. We really don't know what to speak because half of the things we speak is waste. That's why it's better not to speak. In today's Murli also Baba said this, in that dharna, second point. Rather than speaking anything, better not to speak. So that head of the monastery says, we think that we don't know how to speak. And when we will learn, that time we will speak. That time, that's why we are in silence. There is no need of anything. Just pin drop silence. And you know, all the deeper secrets are revealed only and only in silence. I will tell you one personal experience. Every day, many people come and meet me. So if 5 people have come, okay, they are sitting. One of them asks a question and I try to answer. But I always find the other 4 who have not asked any questions, they have understood more. Who have not spoken anything, nor they have asked the question. And the one who has asked the question is filled with the ego of asking the question. Somewhere. The others who are just sitting there And it is not their questions, they are unrelated. But they are just sitting in silence and probably they are imbibing that answer more than that person who is asking. Because when you ask, it is my question. That becomes more important and answer becomes less important because answer I already know. If suppose this is a class and Dadi is sitting here, somebody asks question to Dadi. That person already knows the answer. But when he is asked, it is I. It is I who has asked the question and is least interested in answer. Because answer I already know. Answer is same, consider yourself as a soul and remember the father and all that. All that stuff I already know, keep a balance of laukik and alaukik. Don't go here too much and don't go there too much. All answers I know, but there is an ego of asking the question. So silence, stillness, and then Baba said, this is Smriti Divas, this is day of remembrance, this is also the day of power. This is also the day of power. So were you Sahaj Yogi, easy yogi throughout the day or difficult yogis? At least on this day, which is the day of love, how was your stage? We had a morning class in Pandavavan and one mother raised her hand and she said, I had a very difficult time yesterday. I was a difficult yogi yesterday. I was not easy yogi because sleep attacked me at the time of Murli in the evening. So, who are we? Easy yogi or difficult yogi? And then Baba said, this is a day of remembrance, awareness, smriti. So what smriti you had? And the smriti which Baba pointed out was that we are those souls who remember Baba or who have realized Baba every cycle. And who become soul conscious every cycle. And those who claim the right to God's sustenance. These are the points. Baba says, these are the two smriti or awareness which you have. This is another word, smriti. You cannot translate it as awareness. Awareness is different. Smriti is smriti. Smriti is not just remembrance. Smriti is not even awareness. If you combine all the English four or five words, then something it can come near to smriti. Smriti is a very powerful word. It's a stage of remembrance where you are lost in remembrance. It's uninterrupted, unpunctured remembrance. That's what is smriti. It's not just awareness. And Baba says, the moment you became Baba's, you said my Baba. And when you say my, just as you say my body, you have got attachment to the body. In the similar way, what is the depth of my words when I say my Baba? My means he is mine. Some amount of possessiveness is there when I say he is mine. So that divine possessiveness should come in us, that he is mine. And whenever I will call him, he has to come. In today's blessing, Baba said, God's help, God's company, he is there with you all the time. So experiencing him all the time. And then Baba said intoxication. You should have divine intoxication and you should have happiness. This was a Murli of 18 January 2007. So 70 years Yagya had completed. And Baba said, how do you celebrate this year? What did Baba say? Anybody? How to celebrate this year? This is a year where you have to get free from effort and problems. You have to get rid of effort and problem. This is a unique year, Nyara. This is very, in this year you become loving to all, Pyara. So, you get rid of effort. And Baba also said, two hopes Baba has. One, you should get rid of problems. And second, you should get rid of efforts or reasons. They should not be reasons, but they should be only solutions. So So this is a very important thing to take message, a keynote message from this Murli. How do I convert the problems of my life into solutions? And if I have reasons, Baba said, this habit of putting off, not this, not that. It is because of this, it is because of that. It is because of that, it is because of this. These are reasonings, lame excuses people keep on giving, children keep on giving. To give excuses, to become a bundle of complaints, Baba doesn't love that too much. We become like a devotee who is sitting in front of Baba and telling Baba, oh, this is this, this is this, this is this, this is this. You know, there was one school, and in that school, a spiritual school, it's known as Gurukul in Hindi, one student got admitted for learning spiritual things, and the rule of that school was that in 5 years you can speak only once and only two words, not more than that. If you speak, you will be out. So that one student got admitted. After 5 years, he was asked. The master said, say. He said, bed hard. The bed on which he speaks sleeps is very hard. That's it. After 5 years, he came back. He says, what? He said, food bad. Food is very bad here. He can't speak more than two words. He went back. After 5 years, he again came. The same school. And the master said, this time, go home. Because you are full of complaints. You speak too much. He said, you speak too much. You are full of complaints. Not this, not that, it is like this, it is like that, it is because of him, he does this, he does that. Baba doesn't like this. Last Murli also Baba said, put a full stop. Just say in one word, okay, or just cross over, no okay, not okay. Don't keep on telling you a big story. So, this is a very good thing. Baba said, celebrate this year as Mukti Varsh, as year of celebration, as year of freedom, of liberation. There is a freedom, there is a liberation in the land of liberation, and there is a liberation in life. But those two liberations are different. We have to get liberated now, here and now. Liberated from the traumatic past memories. Liberated from worries, anxieties, tensions, stresses. Something that assail us again and again. Something we are sometimes thrown back into the past and we never come out. Sometimes a deep rooted sanskar that gets upper hand over me. Something that throws me down and all my purushartha, all my efforts comes staggering down. One good thing is, just before you leave this place, make a small list, very small list, just 5 points. What are the problems of my life? Real problems. Not just life, but what are the real difficulties of my purushartha at that place where I stay, not here. If it is a center, if it is office, it is home, what are the real issues and how I can combat them, how can I tackle them? Baba said, ask Baba, he will tell you everything. Yesterday Sakar Murli was there. Baba said, if you have any problem, tell Baba, Baba, I have tried everything. That was 18 January morning, Murli. I have tried everything, nothing is working. Please help me. He is a surgeon. He will guide you. He will show you the way. He is the divine coach. He will tell you, do this, do that. I want to ask one question. What is the difference between God's touching and our own mind's thoughts? Many people say, and they say, we have got Baba's touching. So what is the difference? Whether it is his touching or my own thinking, my own plans, my own premeditated churning. I have a question. I should do a job or not. I go in front of Baba early morning in Amritvela. And Baba says, do it. Then I come out and I tell everyone that I got the touching, that Baba said, take the job. Now, how do I believe? Anybody? How do I believe that Baba's, it is Baba's direct touching and it is not my own chemical reaction of thoughts? Yeah? Intuition. Yeah, but intuition, but what? How do you know? This was, there was one Murli where Baba has answered this. There was one question in one Murli and the answer is CSP. C. When it is Baba's touching, it will be very clear. Clarity would be there. It is so clear that there is no confusion, no doubt about it. When it is Baba's touching. This is Avyakta Murli which I am quoting. Probably 27th March 1980. I am doubtful, I am not remembering the date. But this is the Avyakta Murli where Baba said, 82 probably. 27th March 1982. Yes. 27th March 1982, where there was second question. How do you know it is Baba's touching or your own thoughts? So Baba said, first, it will be very clear. There is no doubt that it is Baba's touching. Second, powerful. It will be very, very powerful touching. So powerful that you will be forced to do it. You know that this is not my ordinary thoughts. I never even thought of it. It is He who is telling me. And S, CPS or CSP, whatever you call, S means it will invariably leads to success. So these are the three components when it will be Baba's touching. But for such a touching, you will have to sit with plain intellect. You cannot have your own thoughts, empty yourself totally and sit with Him. And then clarity, success and powerful. These are the three words that it will be Baba's touching. We'll go back to Murli. So, problems, Baba doesn't want. Reasons, Baba doesn't like. Excuses, He doesn't like. You know, Baba praised double foreigners yesterday. They have got two specialities. What is that? If it is yes, it is yes. If it is no, it is no. This is one. They are very straightforward. There's a book in English, don't say yes when you want to say no. Don't say yes when you want to say no. In this yajna, the part of Haji, you know, it's the most celebrated, yes, Lord. It's the most celebrated Srimat. Yes, 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 yes. But for example, suppose you say yes and you don't do it and the seva suffers, then what is the use of that saying yes? When you knew that you are not going to do it and you don't have time, you should have the power to say no also sometimes. Otherwise, it is a double burden on your head. Otherwise, the seva would have been, sister instrument soul would have given that seva to somebody else also. So, it is about, So, problems, excuses and all those things. And this is also, sometimes it hurts the ego. When we review ourselves, if somebody else tells me that you keep on making excuses, it hurts the ego. But I have to check myself and see, am I really a bundle of excuses? Making excuse for everything, excuse for Amrit Vela, excuse for Murli churning, excuse for traffic control, excuse for evening yoga, excuse for not going to center, excuse for not following Srimat accurately. If we analyze ourselves, we will find we are filled with excuses. So Baba said, this year, you should get free from all excuses, all problems and all reasons. This is how you have to celebrate this new year. And then something He said about file and final. What was that? Your file is increasing. The papers you are putting in your file is increasing. Lot of promises. But promises made in calm are broken in storm. Calm is here and storm is waiting out at your place. With enthusiastically you make promise and it is broken. Why? Because promise when we make, for example, somebody makes a promise to himself that tomorrow morning I have to get up at 2 o'clock. Okay. And he is sleeping here at 11 o'clock. How he is going to get at 2 o'clock? Your promises should be realistic. You have to analyze the complete situation. Analyze why I cannot sleep early. I have to sleep at 9 o'clock if I have to get up at 2 o'clock. If I have to get up at 3 o'clock, I should sleep by 9:30. Then find out the reasons why I stay awake till 10 o'clock or 10:30 or 11 or 11:30. Now, there would be some reasons which are real. For example, suppose you are doing some class, you are gone somewhere, there are real reasons that you are late. Or you have to take your food which you cannot get even before 9. Or some other reasons are there. Or you are caught up in some emergency. That would be sometimes, not always. But make a list of things. What are the things because of which I cannot sleep early? What makes me to stay awake? Is it social media? I am glued to WhatsApp and videos and all those things, paraphernalia. If I really want to get up early in the morning, and if I want to really experience that sweetness of divine love, if I really want to experience the stage of bodilessness, where I forget the world and where I forget the body as if has gone, and I stay alone as soul, in that stage, that experience, you will get only in the early morning hours, not throughout the day. But then you have to make a promise to yourself that I have to get up, get to sleep as early as possible. Remove all the time wasters before night. There must be some reason I stay awake. And there is no reason for me to stay awake like that. Some people say we have to study and this and that, but even if you want to study, early morning hours are best for studying. Where the mind is fresh. I will tell you my own example. I had no time today to churn this murli, to think about it even. Till now I was just seeing the patients only. And there were huge patients today. OPD was full and lot many ICU admissions and lot many ward admissions. Whatever I am telling now, I am thinking that was all done only in the morning. Because throughout the day, there was hardly any time. So that morning hour even is good, not just for yoga, but also for churning knowledge. For going into the depth of knowledge. So Baba said, make this file final. Don't keep on putting papers and don't keep on increasing the size of the file. Just with your empty promises. Baba doesn't want that. Baba doesn't like that. And then one question you asked and one question Baba asked. You asked, when is the destruction? When is the curtain of destruction falling? And Baba said, first you answer my question, then I will answer your. I am not going to answer you free like that. You will ask anything and I will not ask. First answer my question, then I will answer your question. What was his question? Your bitterness, your laziness and your carelessness, your old ways and your old language. When are you going to finish? First tell me that, then only come to me and ask. Otherwise go away. Don't keep on asking stupid questions on destructions. When is the destruction going to happen? Baba says, first get rid of your bitterness. First get rid of your carelessness. First get rid of your old ways and get rid of your old language. Baba doesn't like this language of procrastination, putting off things. I will do it later on. I will do it later on. I couldn't do because he has not, because somebody else is also not doing. Who has told you to look at others? French philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre has said somewhere, very short sentence, the other is hell. Focus on yourself. The other is hell. What is that to you? What he is doing, what she is doing, somebody is sleeping at Amritvela. You mind your own business. Somebody is wasting time, you mind your own business. Who has told you to become his judge? Judge not and ye shall not be judged. And then Baba talked with Madhuban Nivasis. And he said, don't you hear the cries of distress and cries of peacelessness and sorrow in the world? And then Baba talked with Maharashtra group. And he said, you have to give return of love. What is that? What is that return of love? He has loved you so much for so many years and his divine sustenance. What you need to give back to him now? turn yourself, means transform yourself and transform the world. This is the real gift we are giving to God. Real something which we will give to Him. Baba said, I don't want your money or your all those things. If you at all want to give, you give the gift of angelic stage to Baba. This is such a good gift. He will love this gift the most. An angelic stage where you are light, you are free, burden free, in the bodiless stage, away from the attraction of the body. This is the best gift that Baba wants from us. And then Baba talked with double foreigners, which we already said, but we will revise. Baba said, you have got tilak of victory. Just imagine, a king is going to fight a war, and there is an astrologer who comes and he says, I see in your hand you are going to win. Or there is some guru who comes, and whatever he prophesied till now has come true, and he says, it seems you will win. And now God, he is the guru of guru, and he is the astrologer of astrologer. He is the Bhrigu Rishi. There was one Bhrigu Rishi in Indian psychology, in mythology, who has set to designed all this astrology. So he is the Bhrigu Rishi. He is the sage, seer, visionary. And he says that you will win. And he says you have got that tilak of victory. So Baba said, double foreigners have got these two specialities. They will win. And first he said, if you say yes, it is yes. If it is say, they say no, it is no. They are so straightforward. Very transparent. Very much honest. And Baba loves honesty too much. He doesn't love those minds filled with hypocrisy. He doesn't love spiritual schizophrenia, where you speak something and you do something. Split personality, where what you are showing is something else, but inside you are plotting something else. You say something, you do something. There are two personalities, two persons. He doesn't love that. He loves those hearts who are true. If you read this Murli, in this Murli, Baba has talked with Dadi Shantamani also, which was not played out yesterday. But he said to her that you are Sachli Kaudi, means you are true shell. Honesty. He loves honesty too much. So whatever we are, no matter how much faults, failings, flaws, imperfections within us, put yourself in front of Baba. This is what I am. And whatever I am yours. And I surrender myself unto you. Now you take the reins in your hand, the reins of my life. I hand over myself unto you. The supreme sense of surrender is what Baba loves. So honesty. So this is in short, few points, few, not all, because he is ocean of knowledge. His waves are coming and coming and coming and coming, and each and every word he speaks, every sentence has got hidden meaning, connotation, and a depth which we all need to explore. So, please read this Murli again. Churn this Murli. Discuss it. Take out few points. Make few planning before you go back. Convert some texts into drills. Practice some spiritual drills. And make yourself and give the gift of angelic stage. Baba wants this gift from you. The gift of angelic state from all of us children. Om Shanti.